Matt, we're back on our new channel with episode 26, second one on the new channel. First one's been amazing. Big thank you to everybody that's subscribed, everybody that's viewed, and everybody that's listened, because there's a lot of people on audio. We've had people messaging us from all over the world, from New Zealand, from Australia, saying they're listening to the pod. It's amazing. I'm blown away. I've got a big smile on my face.
And I can vouch for Andy on this one because he's rang me three times this week to read emails that people have sent in because we put the email address in there last week, didn't we, for you? So there's been some big ones. And he's like, Matt, listen to this one. And he's read the message through and then he sends me another, and he screenshots it and sends it through. So Andy has absolutely loved reading all your emails. Andy is admin man. So if you get a response on mission, it's from Andy. He's Mr. Admin.
Very occasionally Edgar gets involved. I've noticed one or two very occasionally you do get involved because we all have access. We can all respond, but it is usually me. And but I know you read every comment, Matt, as well. So thank you very much. A lot of love this week. We really, really appreciate it. Thank you for joining us on the new channel because it's not an easy thing to ask people to do, totally change channels. So thank you for coming over, and I know a lot of you are joining us on a Monday morning. Some are enjoying it on a Sunday night, and some of you during the rest of the week. So it's amazing. Big thank you. If you've shared it, an even bigger thank you. And if you're in the club, which we know we've got lots because they keep telling us, Matt, you've watched every episode, another big thank you. And if you're just commenting for the algorithm, it's still a thank you.
I love the algorithm comments. The ones that I like are like the most random ones. When someone's just, they put something like, I like giraffes for the algorithm. Yeah. You know, so, and we've got those, haven't we? We've got a lot of listeners who are sort of like amateur comedians who put their messages in and they chuck some bits in there. And I'm sure someone's going to put in the comments this week, I love giraffes or something like that, just to like go along with it. In fact, what did we have last week? 100 comments. Imagine 100 comments over all 100. Around giraffes.
Over 100 talking about chocolate bars, because we were talking about chocolate bars, if you remember. And some of the chocolate bars I've forgotten about, the people who put Boost and Star Bar and things like
Boost.
I don't know. I thought it had gone. Ripple, somebody put a Ripple.
Remember this? I'm going to get you in one. Remember this? Ready? Cadbury's Dream.
Oh no!
Remember that? No. It was like a white chocolate. No. It was like a creamy white chocolate, and it's gone now. Cadbury's Dream. Remember Asteroids? You used to get them in like a little box.
Asteroids, no.
Right, I'm gonna see while you're doing this. I'm gonna see if I can get a picture up to show you while we're, because this you'll remember it as soon as you see it. Astros, not asteroids. Astros. As soon as you see it, you'll remember it. As soon as you see it, you'll know what it is.
I can hear a little bit of my voice coming back into my headphones, so I don't know whether that's me at my end, Matt, or whether it's you at your end. I don't know. Something's. It's as usual. Let's be perfectly honest. Disclaimer: we've had fun and games before we've even started today, Matt, haven't we?
And we've messed up all the settings now, haven't we?
Because we set Matt's email up, so it was nice and easy to click on his favourites bar, and it's disappeared. So he can't even click on his emails now, and we've no idea how to get it back on. So into the tech team tomorrow we go, Matt.
Again
with the. Again, and we'll get your email sorted. But
they're going to laugh their head off.
Oh, no, but nobody's ever had to have their email set up twice. That's never happened. So I don't know what Kev's going to say tomorrow, but thanks to Kev for fixing it last time. And you're going to have to do it again.
I've got the picture. So if you are listening to this on an audio platform and you're not 100% sure, you can just go subscribe to the Mission Dance podcast YouTube channel. I think this is going to work. Let me just check. It's that tiny little boy. Look at the size of it.
Wow. So for those of you listening, he's put the smallest picture that possible. It was about 1/100th of the size of the screen. So I have no idea what actually that was. Oh,
there you go.
Oh, it's Astros, not Asteroids.
You surely remember them.
Yes, but I would have done had you said Astros instead of Asteroids. Right. anyway, yeah, somebody put Drifter, which I don't think you can get anymore. They were classic as well. So thank you for all the comments, and thank you for all the competition entries. Now, I decided to give it a couple of days. Give it a couple of days. Those of you that listen, the hardcore fans, couple of days, over 150 entries, Matt. Now, that's the answer was one. Yeah, the answer was easy. So the answer was 159. The checkout, the number that you can't check out, between 100 and 161. So everybody that replied got it right. But I've picked a winner.
Okay.
I've picked a winner at random, and I've emailed this person, and it's a lady. We've got some female watchers. It's a lady called Fiona. I'm not going to give full names out and everything. And I said, could you send me your address? We'll send you some goodies. Congratulations on winning. She said, I never won anything in my life. I'm delighted. And I live in the Shetland Isles. So I can't wait to go into the office and go, oh, here's the package. Could you send this to the Shetland Isles, please?
Where's that?
Idea how you get. It's one of the islands off the coast of Scotland, isn't it? The Shetland Isles. You know, one of those places that you've got to go get a boat to get there. Yeah. There's probably people watching now going, it's not at all. You're talking nonsense, Andy. Yeah, there's a bridge and you know, you can drive over. But as far as I'm concerned, the Shetland Isles is a tiny little place off the coast of Scotland. Anyway, that's
who. Hey, Andy, you know what? Do you know what she's doing? She's living the dream.
Oh, here we go. Here we go. Yeah, very good. Very good. The old dream bar. There's a question. There's a question.
For our visual listeners.
Who was the dream boy?
Gary Anderson.
Correct. You see? You're straight in there, aren't you?
He wants to forget that so much, doesn't he? Like
he does, yeah. That's a lot. He's the Flying Scotsman now, not the dream boy. Although I do think...
Remember 009?
No.
Because apparently you used to hit a lot of nine darters, 009. There was a clue then. There was a clue.
Adrian, no. I don't know.
There's a clue. Look, there's a clue here. There's a clue.
What? He's left-handed. James Wade.
James Wade, 009. What was Adrian Lewis's nickname before Jackpot?
Oh. I mean, he got Jackpot when he was about 16. So you really are. As you can tell, we never rehearse any of this because I have not a clue these questions, where they're coming from. But Adrian Lewis's nickname before Jackpot. Adrian Lewis. There's nothing that even goes with those names. I don't know. I reckon nobody knows.
I will give you the answer, but just pause the video right now where you are watching it and put your idea in the comment section, what you think it is, and I'm going to reveal the answer in 3, 2, still time to pause it, 1, Lurch.
Never.
Yeah, Lurch.
Honestly?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, I did not know that. What I was going to say then, when you mentioned Gary Anderson and he dropped the old dream boy thing, Bronze Adonis, he never changed it, did he? He got older and older and older, and he was still the Bronze Adonis. Go on, Stevie Beaton, legend.
What was your nickname?
I kind of had a few, and they were all Tintin. Rubbish. No, I never had Tintin. That was my DJ name. But no, when I first started playing, it was The Merchant, because I'd been in the wine. I was a wine merchant for 12 years.
I'm not surprised. You look like a wine and tea sort of guy.
And then it changed to The Coach, because obviously a coach starts as Andy the Coach Cornwall kind of goes. And then recently, Precision, Andy Precision Cornwall. I mean, how bad are they? You know, they're really not ones that... It's like my walk-on song. What's my walk-on song, Matt?
I don't know. You've never walked onto anything.
Dave Clark 5, glad all over. I'm feeling glad all over. Yeah, that's my walk-on song.
You've got it all and made. You just need a stage to walk on to now, and you're fine.
Well, I've got some news on that. I will be on a stage. I have been on a stage in the last week, and I'll be on it again. I'll tell you about that in a minute. The reason is because whenever Blackpool's my football team, as you know, whenever they score, that's what they play. So I just went.
So not very often then. You don't hear it a lot.
So I played last Friday. Knockout in Longridge. 44 people. Two got through. Cornwall got through. It's finals night. £1,000 to the winner. I'm there. Oh,
living the dream.
Living the dream. £1,000 to the winner. I've won it once before. Probably mention this on a podcast because I have very few things in the past that I can mention of any. But I won it once before, I think 11 years ago, beat Stephen Bunting in the final. It was only £250 to the winner then. But it's £1,000 this year, and I'm through to the final. So anything can happen. It's on February the 28th is the final. So I've got 4 weeks to put some practice in. It's a shame you're not near a bye, otherwise we could have a right good session. But, yeah. Little bit of something to celebrate. It hears me saying I don't even play anymore, and then every week I'm like, oh yeah, I played Super League. Yeah. I'm like, oh yeah, I've qualified for this comp. People are like, is he having a laugh? He plays all the time. I really don't. I mean, I literally at 7 o'clock on Friday was like, I'm not doing anything tonight. Shall I go to Longridge? Yeah, go on then. Picked up my darts, off I went. So there you go. And I was driving as well. Oh God, the final, I was awful. I fell over the line, but I was awful.
Oh, well,
talking
stuff of dreams.
Oh, here we go. We've changed from ambience now to the stuff of dreams every 5 minutes. Matt, we're 11 minutes in, and everybody's going, you have to talk about the Masters. It is a darts podcast. I've got so much to say. First of all, I still hate it. I still think it's nonsense. I still think, how weird was it when they were going to the Sky commentary crew going, so what do you think of the Masters? It's got all these years of history and blah. And I'm like, it's a totally different tournament. I'm sorry, but it is.
Imagine that would be very weird, actually, going to the Sky team when it was on ITV. I can see your point.
All right.
It must have been really weird.
We're recording this at night. We don't normally record in the evening, Matt, do we? I'll best have some.
By now, you're normally having your dreams.
Yes, exactly. So, the ITV commentary team, and they were saying, you know, all the history, and I was like, give over. It's a new tournament, or it's a change to an existing one. And you know what? Look, I watched plenty of it. I enjoyed watching the darts, but I've got a lot of gripes with it. I've got a lot of gripes. Sets that are best of three.
Stick on that. Go on. That's something that's a gripe of mine, the fact that they've tried to claim sort of the lineage of the event? Is that the word? Where you're trying to dip into the event's past because it's sponsored by the same sponsor as then. So let's say, something happens between now and next year. And Winmore decide to sponsor the WDF World Masters instead. Is Luke Humphries now the defending champion?
Exactly. You're bang on. They started saying, oh, you know, do you remember when Phil Taylor won this? Do you remember when Martin Adams won it? And I'm like, they haven't won this tournament. This is a PDC tournament. It's not the same tournament. You can't just call it the same and, oh, I'll have all that history that goes with it. You know what I mean? I just don't even get why they've... I don't get why they've tried to do it. I mean, am I right in thinking there will still be a Masters next September, a WDF version?
Yeah.
Yeah. So what? You can't just be... Because it's a sponsor... I could go on about this all day. It wound me up. I thought, please stop referencing the old tournament. You just can't do that. Best of
that tournament still exists.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I'm sure with people in the comments below saying the same. Those that are old enough like us to remember the old Masters. First of three in a set, you a fan or not? Best of three.
Yeah, so I actually am as a one-off because I think what we've got at the moment is everything's too samey. We've got two set play tournaments, the rest is just leg play in the different numbers. So I actually like the fact it's got its own unique feel and appeal. the early stages, you know, being sort of streamed, being on the floor, being on the Pro Tour and all that side of things, I actually found that that almost had a feeling to me like I was watching the old UK Open.
I was just going to say the same.
And sort of getting through to the TV stage, who's going to get through to that, and that sort of knockout bit. I would like to have seen more places than eight. And I think there was scope for more places than eight.
And what was the problem with it? It was best of three.
Yeah. Brilliant. Brilliant.
First of four legs.
Yeah.
First of four legs, basically.
Yeah. Jeopardy. I loved it. So yeah. I would have, though, stuck with the top 16. Why not? You put them in everything else. Let's just go with that. You know, that's the ooh, that's the remit.
That's been talked about this week, Matt. That's been talked about this week. Oh, dear. Oh, you've hit a nail there. Oh.
So, you know, you're chucking them in everything else. You might as well just do it again. You know, what's the difference? And have 16 places available for everybody else. Seed the qualifiers by all means. But I think eight was a little bit stingy, especially when you're starting to invite in Challenge Tour, Development Tour, JDC, CDC.
And it's ranking.
Yeah.
It's ranking, isn't it? How can you make it ranking when there's only eight people can get in? That's not fair.
Well, this is the thing what we're saying about the top 16 now, just going to pull away, because not only do they have that, but when we worked out, you've got to win 70 matches just to draw a level on the Euro Tour if the seed wins one game every time. You're working 70 to 14 just to be level. Then they've got that, which is non-defending money because it's never been ranked before. So realistically, if you're sort of number 10 upwards, if you drop out the top 16, it's because you have gone absolutely to pot. In your, there's no way on this planet, if you're top 10 and you're averaging anywhere between a 90 and a 92, how you cannot possibly drop out the top 16.
Okay, so here's my question. Put your PDC hat on. Why? What's the benefit for them doing that?
Well, it's obvious. And the answer is very simple. And this is something people get confused. And when people discuss this quite a lot, they discuss sort of what the sport should look like or what the PDC should do in order to provide a level playing field or a fair scenario or the best sort of experience. That's not what the PDC are. The PDC are a privately owned promotional body that's job is solely to sell tickets. And to sell tickets in this sport where we've got a two-year ranking system and a high turnover of players, you need familiar faces. You need recognizable things. You need stars. And you're not going to get stars if one event you've got 10 people, six different, then six change again, then they change again. You can't have a revolving door of players. Players need to be familiar. Players need to be relatable. If you want, as we spoke about before, aren't we? Things like hooks. You can only get things like hooks with the audience if you are seen on a regular basis. So I understand why they've done it in the order to make stars, because that's what darts lacks right now. Darts lacks star power. Yes, we know the players, but there's no star power. Until very recently, I don't think any dart player ever sold a ticket to an event outside family and friends. No one would ever go sitting in Blackpool and go, this is not a knock on the back. I love Daryl, but it's just the first player that came to my mind. You know, going to go, oh, Daryl Gurney's on tonight. Let's go down the Winter Gardens. It's darts is on. Shall we go? Darts as the sport always outweighed the player. The player was just part of the machine. And if you're going to change that, and the only way it moves forward is by having star power on the players. You know, you look at things like the boxing, you look at things like UFC. Conor McGregor fights in the UFC. It sells out at big bills and it's on pay-per-view. Now, people who are better fighters than him can be on the card and it doesn't sell. The Spice Girls wasn't the best singers.
Yeah.
But they sold out concerts. McDonald's do not make the best burger, but they sell the most.
Yeah.
So
when I ask you questions like this, I always get a really good answer. So I'm glad I have, because I think that answer's perfect. And again, I always do a golf analogy every week. So they used to say when Tiger Woods played in an event, they'd sell twice as many tickets to go and watch as if he didn't. Hmm. So I think that's kind of what you're saying. If we create some superstars, you sell all the tickets in a day. Because people are going because they're playing rather than let's just have a night out of the darts and we're not bothered who's playing, that sort of thing. And I think that's what he just said. And I think
you're aura as right. Well. No one's got aura. No one's got that sort of, oh, we're sat watching The Undertaker. You know, oh, we're watching The Rock. You know, this is something I'm going to remember. It's just I'm at the darts. I'm at this party atmosphere. Woohoo! Let's all chuck a beer up in the air. Let's cheer a 180 and put a placard up. Let's write Andy Cornwall likes
dream
something
bars.
On my placard card. And, you know, that's kind of how it goes. And actually what we're lacking is aura, star power, and that. And the only way to get that is to have the same players every single event. Now, watching on home, if you watch every single match on darts, you'll be bored of seeing the top 16 all the time. But, I mean, I do it. I mean, I go to the wrestling, right? And I go and watch the wrestling. And somebody I've got no interest in watching them in a match on TV, when they come out, it's like, oh, I'm watching one of their matches. And, or they'll do a move. And, you know, you watch on TV, I've got no interest in watching the move because it's like, oh, I've seen it a million times. But when you're there, it's like, oh, I've just seen the shooting star press. That's cool. So darts doesn't have that, and it's starting to. We're starting to see it. I've been calling for it for a long time. We're starting to see it creep through. So I understand why they've done it, but the sportsman inside of me doesn't always agree with corporate decision. And this is where it's hard because I work within the industry, so I can see it from both sides. But one thing I'll never lose is being a fan. And by being a fan, I want to see opportunity. I want to see players coming through. I want to see that turnover because it's more exciting for me personally. But then I look at the other side and I think what is best for business is to build recognizable faces, stars, aura, star power, because that is ultimately what will take everything up. And then by that going up, the cake gets bigger. So my little slice of the cake becomes more valuable. So,
and who'd have thought we'd have got shooting star press in the podcast? Hmm? You know, if somebody had mentioned that to me yesterday, I'd been saying that's quite unlikely that we'll get that in. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it means, but it's in the podcast. Anyway, back to the Masters.
And that is probably someone's dream.
So we're neither of us a fan of the format. Right, the best of three sets, best of three legs. It feels like first of six legs to me. It's like a best of 11. I'd have liked it to be a bit longer. It felt super quick in the early rounds. It was like bang, bang, you're out. You've been broken twice, you're out. That's it. You've gone. So I'd have liked to have seen that be a little bit. Yeah, you like it. I'd like it a little bit longer. And what did I say last week? I said the quick fire games, Littler will get beat, and he got beat. And the longer games, he
the other thing
beat.
To remember, and I think I'm okay to speak here because we're on long form content. We're sort of like an hour each week. The modern generation, you might hear the cat scratching at the door now. I'll just pause on this for a second, just because I want to really make sure this hits. There we go. The younger generation, what's the word I'm going to use? Imbeciles. We'll go with imbeciles. Short attention spans. Now, there'll be times like you'll do a video for like TikTok and it's like 1 minute, 5 seconds long. And they're like, oh, that's just took so long. It's a minute. Like, yeah. It, you know, if you can keep your attention span for longer than a minute, your girlfriend's going to be delighted with you, sort of thing. You know, like it is terrible, like the attention span right now, people. So I think when we look at what the big appeal in darts is right now is an 18-year-old in Luke Littler, which means he's going to be pulling people of a similar age who want to watch 50 games of darts in a night And they want, by the end of that night of watching it, they want to be experts on it. And they're probably watching something on their phone whilst they're watching the darts. And they're probably doing something because the overstimulation that they need to have all the time. So if you start going, right, we're going to watch a game of darts that's going to take an hour, I don't think the viewing figures will be as good because of that's the overstimulation all the time that they require.
It's happened in every sport, hasn't it? You know, cricket went from taking 3 or 4 days. Now it's down to 100 balls. It's like 100 balls a side, off we go, you know. Snooker is best of 5, best of 7 now. It always used to be like best of 19. Everything's got quicker.
Get
like
this
you
one,
say,
right? In wrestling, they've made a new division called the speed division where matches are 3 minutes.
What?
Yeah. 3 minutes. That's because, that's because essentially in our day, like, I mean, you don't fully get wrestling, but you'd understand storytelling. You understand the build. To get the payoff of Rocky winning the title, you have to see all the hardship, all the downside, all the thing he's gone through. So you buy in and invest that you want to see him come out on top by the end. That's essentially wrestling and storytelling. But the new generation have decided, we don't want the story. We just want move, 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 winner. We don't care about the build. We don't care about he's down. Is he going to get back up? Is he this? They just want to see high impact move, 1, 2, 3, next match. You know, so we cut out all the storytelling. And isn't that, like, I mean, we're going completely off topic here, aren't we? But isn't that now relationships as well? Because actually, instead of us slipping on our designer jeans and going down the local club with our blue wickeds and sort of shaking it around a little bit, your shirt on all nicely ironed, your shoes, now they sit at home and swipe through 200 ladies. And, oh, I like that one. And then they wait to see if they swipe back.
Do you know what's funny? You should mention that. And we're completely off topic. As you know, I was out at the weekend and met a friend who lives down south, and we normally meet up halfway. So this week we decided to meet in Chester. Great place, by the way, if you've never been. And he got stuck on the motorway for 3 hours. It was a massive accident. I hope everybody was okay. There was some air ambulances and everything. But we went out Saturday night in Chester, and we walk into this place called, anybody that's from around there, I think it's called The Church. And it is an old church. It's been converted into a, I don't want to call it a nightclub. It's a, it's a fun, what I would call a fun pub. There's no dance floor or anything. Dreaming. Yeah. Right. So all the girls start walking in, and we're way too old to be in there, really, because I'm 53 and my mate's like 49. But we're in there, we're having a late drink, and all the girls start coming in, and they're all dressed up to the nines, mate. Honestly, they look beautiful. Fantastic. Mm-hmm. Then all the guys start walking in jogger bottoms, hoodies, T-shirts, looking like I would sit on my sofa in. Like that sort of clothing, like loungewear. Trainers, everybody's got trainers on, jogging bottoms, T-shirts. And I'm like, hang on a minute, it's a Saturday night. You're out, clearly. But, well, maybe you're not all, but you're looking for some female company. Maybe you're trying to find a girlfriend, or, and you could not be any scruffier if you tried. And all the girls, they're all glammed up. They've got their fake tan on. They've got their nails done. They've got open-toed shoes. They've got beautiful dresses on. Some of them are scantily clad, what I would call these days. I dread to think if my daughter went out like that, but they look amazing. And the guys, honestly, I was like, if any of them decide to, like we would have in our day, I mean, it was almost suits occasionally, but it was trousers and a shirt and shoes. The amount collared of places, if you went, collared shirt. Oh, sorry, mate, you've no collar, you're not coming in. Oh, no, trainers, we don't have trainers in here, mate, off you go. If anybody actually dressed up, they'd have the pick because they'd stand out a mile amongst this sea of scruffy blokes. And I'm talking 18 to 25-year-olds. I was amazed. I was amazed.
I went out in Birmingham not long ago, like the summer last year, at the back end of the summer, because I still got a lot of friends from when I used to be a teacher. So I still stay in contact with those guys, and they was going for like an end of year sort of summer holidays. Let's go out on the booze in Birmingham sort of thing. And we did. We went out on the booze. And I tell you what, we all wore like jeans, shirts, couple in shoes, and like you say, we felt completely out of place. And I'm like, why are we the odd ones out? Like, what is it? Like you say, scruffy. Like, not even like a new hoodie. Like, it's messy. It's not like a nice mission hoodie, which, by the way, I see a lot of you in the comments section wanting to get your hands on. But these are exclusive to the Mission YouTube team.
I've heard later in the year we might have some, but yeah, I was amazed by it. Anyway, Matt, we're so far off topic, it's ridiculous. Back to the Masters, because it's time for Andy's rant of the week. And you know, there's getting one every week now.
We need to get a button, right? You know, like an alarm.
Rant of the week, yeah. My headphones like nearly fell out going off.
Yeah.
That would
be dreamy.
Yeah, okay. So, rant of the week. It's Johnny Clayton again. He's been my rant before now. I thought he played great in the final. Three legs to go. Humphries on a finish. 2-6-6. What does he do? Stays on the 20s. Single 20, then goes down for 19s. Absolutely brilliant. So he can't leave a finish. I am, like, he's that close. He was playing brilliant. He was that close to winning that tournament. Did that moment cost him? We'll never know. But it certainly didn't help him, because Humphries must be, to quote a phrase, he must have been stood behind him laughing his cock off. Because, like, it's just like, I think Humphries was on 70 something or something like that. And he's got 2-6-6 and he's going on the 20, so he can't leave a finish. Like, Johnny, for God's sake, man, you've nearly won a massive tournament there, and you've basically given the advantage to Luke Humphries. So bravo. Absolutely. It's my rant of the week. I'm sick of players doing it. It's the profession. Now, I've got one other thing that relates to that. We're definitely going to talk more about this. We're going to do videos about this, and I'm getting asked about it a lot now. Is this advanced scoring, where I know that they're thinking now from 501 down, there's no start counting at 300. We start counting at 500, but forgetting that, it's having a negative effect as well as a positive effect. And I'll tell you why. So you'd be well aware that players between 300 to 350, there's ways that you go that ensure that you get a chance of a finish. Like 302, you need to be going in the 18s at some point, or, you know, 309, you should be starting on 19s, etc. I've been coaching players lately who are, I'm going to be generous and say 60 average, and they're doing the same thing. Now, I've in the past said, you've got to give yourself a chance for a finish. You've got to blah, 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 blah. But it has to be relative. And this is where I think we might need to do a video. It's got to be relative. If you're a 60 average man, you shouldn't be thinking about 19s on 309 or 18s on 302. Stay where you know where you're going. Yeah, there's levels. There's levels. And yes, if you're a 60 average man from 200, you might be looking to set something up. But only the very, very top should be thinking about that. I don't hit a 19 with my first three darts on 501, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I think there's levels, Matt. And I think people are watching it now on the TV and they're going, oh, that's what you do on 308. You start an 18 so that you can hit blah, blah, blah. Right, I'm going to do that. Yeah, but mate, you're not capable. So that's like me watching Tiger Woods and going, oh, I'm going to bomb it 300 yards. I can't. I'm not good enough.
I think some of it also comes down to how the content's presented as well in the broadcast sense. So one of the things when I was working with the Super Series, one of the good things we had there was when it was on YouTube, we had the live chat feature. And sometimes I was able to explain to people why things were happening, because we was able to get that instant feedback, where instead of like commentating completely on the game, you're reacting to the problem. Now, for example, player on 232. And he's gone 20, 20, 20.
Bull.
Oh. You think you'd go for the bull 25.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So he stayed on the 20s, missed it, left 172. And then the comments are spamming like, oh, he's gone 25 ball. He had left a finish. He'd left a finish. But then I'm like, but his opponent's on 349. So even if his opponent is a 180, he can't leave a finish. So is he going to go 25 to leave the 167? And then is he going to go for the bullseye? The chances are he's going to lay it up because he knows he's got six darts. So why come away to leave a potential bullseye finish that you're not going to go for anyway on the 167? You're going to try and lay up and leave a finish. So you might as well just stay there. So it's relevant to the context of the game and that moment. Now, if his opponent was on 280, you'd go for the 25 because he could hit a 180 and leave himself a ton.
Yeah.
So it's playing the moment, not just the numbers matter, but the numbers matter in the context of the game.
Correct. And Bunting did it. So Bunting was on 302 and the other guy was on 351. And he started on 18s. I'm like, what are you doing? What are you doing? The guy can't leave a finish. So there is no point you setting up a finish because he can't. So, yeah, again, I think it won't be the last time we talk about this. There's more to darts than aiming at the board and trying to hit what you're trying to hit. There's more to it. And the levels are going up. But I think there's lots of conversations and play to your level that you're at and that sort of thing. We'll talk about it more. But, yeah, Johnny Clayton, please, 266. Come on, mate. It's not tricky. Go on, 19s, please. You've cost yourself a chance to win the tournament. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. I mean, if he was a mission player, I'd have him in. I'd have him in on Monday. I'd be like, mate, let's have an hour and let's just talk about what you're doing here, because that's just crazy. But he's not. So, Matt, we're filming again this week. Well, by the time this goes out, we will have filmed. You're spending some more time with me, another couple of days. Like, as if you haven't spent enough time with me this year.
Let's not just think about the filming. Let's think about, and we can talk about this, because as this hits the podcast channel, on the main channel, episode 1, series 3 of Rate My Hockey, Chris Mason's Pub, which you absolutely loved.
I love it. It's one of, if not the best venues I've ever been in. It's one of the best episodes we've ever done. He was a great guy as well. I think I might have met him once. I know you've met him a few times. Spoiler alert. It's okay because the video's already gone out. But he mentioned a little story that you battered him. He only played you once and you battered him.
I forgot about that as well. And the thing was, I've been working with Mace now for a couple of years, and you don't really speak with players about head-to-head records and things like that. And I couldn't remember it. And then when he brought it up, I'm like, oh, I remember the night. I remember it. Because actually, you love this one. So it was an exhibition night. I won the exhibition. I beat Mace for like 107 average in the semi-final. Who did I play in the final? Ted Everts. Played Ted Everts in the final.
Super Ted,
yeah. Beat Ted Everts in the final. And what was ironic about it was that was the first night I'd properly gone out with Jody. So we'd sort of been like sort of for a few months, and it was coming up to it, and it was sort of coming up to Christmas time, and she was like, should we go out, should we go do something? I says, I've got exhibitions, so I said, you can come with me if you want. And she came, and she weren't very well, right? And when you do exhibitions, right, certainly for the guy I was doing it for, you ring ahead. So you ring ahead and you book your meal in and everything, so they bring you your food, your meal and stuff, and then you get your drinks and stuff. I forgot to say Jody was going. So I'm sat there eating my meal. She's got nothing. I went to the bar, got her a couple of bags of crisps.
Offer her your meal or some of it. No.
I got some crisps.
One of the first dates. No.
I got some crisps. Yeah. Man, so and then I won the thing.
You probably won it because you were peacocking all over the stage like, oh, look, Jody's in the crowd. I best play well tonight.
No, actually, because we said we'd go out after it if there was time, right? And, I'm going to be honest with it. Why not? We got paid at the start of the night. So I said, I've been paid. I said, so what we can do, I said, if I go up first game here and don't win, that's it. My night's done. It's a tournament. Like, if I go up first game, don't win, we can go home. We can go out afterwards. And she's like, well, we're here now. You might as well win it. And I'm like, if you want me to win it, I'll win it. But, you know, it's you don't get anything extra for winning it. You just get a trophy at the end of the night sort of thing. And she's like, no, try and win it. I said, fine, if you want me to win it, I'll win it. And I did. I won it playing absolutely amazing. So she must have thought I was some sort of genius. But yeah, it was an interesting night, that's to say the least. Yeah, I don't know why she stuck around. Here's some cheese and onion, love.
Unbelievable. And she's still with you to this day. God bless her. I've got some comments, some statements, some questions, and then I've got a piece of paper that I've lost. So while you're talking, I'll find that. So where shall I start? Could have prepared.
Have you got
really
anything? Have you got any questions that are dreamy?
Says it got a wrestling question. How about that?
Oh.
Do you consider Modus, this is Intergalactic Ape Man, do you consider Modus being kind of what WCW was to the WWF back in the 90s? And will we see an equivalent to the ECW one day?
You're watching it, yeah. That's Modus. ECW is an industry disturber. ECW, you listen to Bubba Ray Dudley, you listen to Paul Heyman, they nail it. That ECW wasn't made to last 20, 30, 40 years. I think Modus would like that, but I don't feel like it's something that's going to be a lifelong thing. I think it's something we get for 5 years, for 10 years. I think it disturbs the industry. And what it has done is it has shown that there is interest and demand outside of the world's elite players. There is an audience now for this. Now, back in the day, you had a TV tournament. Then you've got a bunch of TV tournaments. And the general feel is, without the top players, no one wants to watch. What we're seeing now is there is an audience, there is a collective audience, there is a market for people that want to watch this. And I do think eventually, I mean, the biggest risk to Modus and in its current environment is, should industry leaders do something very similar? Like, the first big risk to its existence was Pro Tours going midweek. Then the next thing is Pro Tours going midweek with four streaming boards, because then, yeah, you can watch four Pro Tour games at the same time, yeah, while this is going on. So I think when the PDC ultimately goes to what they want to do, which is having all 16 board streams, which is the direction it's going to go, that's where it's going to finish. I wouldn't be surprised if in the near future it goes to eight. And then
that
it'll
being
go
said, you've got to pay. You've got to pay to watch the PDC. Modus is free.
$4.99, or if you have a bet, you can watch it free through your betting site. So that's one thing. The next thing is, if you remember back in the day, they used to do that Champions League of Darts where you used to get 50 quid for winning a leg, and you did the day. Well, we're always saying about a living wage for the people in the bottom end of the tour. What if they turn around and said, right, well, our bottom 64 players can play this streamed league. We're going to use 32 of the challenge tour, 32 of the development tour. That's the 128 player pool that's going to exist in this streamed event thing here. So there will be things like that. And I think that's what I mean by saying disturb the industry, in the fact that it's showing market leaders that actually, as much as we want the aura and we want those players at the very, very top, there's still a demand, and you can still make sales on these players towards the bottom end in a stream. They're not going to sell tickets. You're not going to sell tickets. But you'll watch it. If they put it on now, PDC Pro Tour Shootout players 64-128. You wouldn't buy a ticket to go watch it, but you'd watch it. You'd sit at home and watch it on your laptop, on your device. You'd put it on, whether it's on the background or in the front. And I think that's what it's doing. Then off the back of that, you've got viewership. Off the back of viewership, you've got sponsorship. So I think it's going to do what I'd love it to stick around. Partly because it's a brand I've worked on from the inception of it. And from day one, I was there the very first week of the Modus Super Series. I was working on commentary. I actually went down to be a presenter. I went down to be the presenter that day. It is the best bit, right? So I've gone down to present the channel. We sat in the back bit in the broadcast, and they've gone, right, we're going to mix it up a little bit. So instead of Matt presenting, we're going to put Chris Mason as the presenter, who was meant to be on commentary. He went to presenter. I went in as commentator, and Henry Deacon, who is now the presenter down there, was the pundit.
So you're all in the wrong roles.
All in the wrong roles. And then I've just stayed as a commentator ever since. And, you know, not only that, I've now gone to do other things within that industry. So it actually worked out a lot for me. But, yeah, you've got Chris Mason, the presenter, asking Henry Deacon, the pundit, questions.
Brilliant.
While I'm sat in commentary. And yeah, it was all off. So yeah, it sort of set out in the end. But yeah, I'd love it to stick around. I'd love it to do really well. I think it will. I know it's thriving, but do I see it in its current format in 10 years' time? A lot happens in 10 years.
Yeah.
And I think industry leaders are going to get involved at some point.
There. There's a gentleman here giving you a bit of advice, which just shows they listen to the podcast, they listen to our rants, but he's got a bit of advice. Rohan Duffin has said, if or when you accidentally use that permanent marker on your whiteboard in the studio that you showed everybody last week, it can easily be removed by using a aerosol insect repellent spray and then wiping with a dry cloth. Now, who knew that? You've come for the Mission Darts podcast today and you've learned how you can get permanent marker off a whiteboard using aerosol insect repellent spray. The things that people know.
The other thing as well, not to forget, is the new Matthew Edgar darts are out now as well, aren't they? So
they are indeed. New selling Matthew Edgar very darts, well, Matt.
21 grams, 23 grams, and 25 grams. Very well priced, around about the £55 mark, I believe, for the Edgar darts. Let's see if I've got a set in here I can show you. Like,
yeah, I'm sure you have. While you're getting them out, Mickey Spins has referenced us talking about breakfast. Do you remember we had a good rant about breakfast last week? Yeah. Now, he said, we were talking about French toast or eggy bread. He said, eggy bread is what you have savoury, but French toast is when you have it sweet with syrup and berries, etc. So there you go. Our listeners are educating us as well as listening. Thank you so much. We read every comment, and thank you. There's the new Edgar Dart. Right, while he's got that out and he's showing off, I'm going to do something that I've flicked on a YouTube short the other day, and somebody was doing this for football, and I thought, I'm going to do this for darts. Are you ready, Edgar? This is quick fire. You need your brain in gear, and you've got to tell me who's the best player. Are you ready?
Phil Taylor.
John Lowe or Gary Anderson?
Oh, Gary Anderson.
Gary Anderson or Martin Adams?
Gary Anderson. Easy.
Gary Anderson or Luke Humphreys?
Are we talking in prime or right now?
You don't get to ask further questions. Oh, Gary Anderson or Luke Humphreys? Who are you picking on your side?
Gary Anderson.
Right now, okay. Gary Anderson or Dennis Priestley?
He's had more years, hasn't he?
Gary Anderson or Dennis Priestley?
Oh, Gary Anderson. He's top five player of all time.
Gary Anderson or John Part?
Gary Anderson.
Gary Anderson or Adrian Lewis?
See, you've gone too strong here with Gary Anderson because it's got to be Anderson.
I think people are going to be disagreeing with you on this.
He's Gary one of the Anderson, top five players of all time.
All right. Gary Anderson, Gerwin Price?
Still Anderson, yeah. There's only a few
Anderson
people
or being. Peter Wright?
Still Anderson.
Anderson or Jockey Wilson?
Still Anderson.
Anderson or Glenn Durant?
I don't think we need to say Anderson every time.
How many times has he won the world title? Twice. All these people that have won it more than that, you're disregarding them. Just still disregarding
Anderson.
Them.
Still Anderson.
Wow. Gary Anderson or Luke Littler?
Luke Littler's only had a year, so you've got to go with Anderson.
Who do you want in your team?
Yeah, but you now or in his prime?
All right. Yeah. No, all right. Gary Anderson, Eric Bristow.
Now we'll go with Bristow now.
Oh, finally. Wow. Gary Anderson's listening to this podcast now, sending you a check, I think. Eric Bristow or Eamon Van Barneveld?
Bristow. There's only two players that's going to beat this, I think.
Bristow or MVG?
MVG, yeah.
And MVG or Taylor?
Taylor, yeah.
Oh, I thought you might have gone MVG at the end.
Nah.
So, clearly that didn't work as it should have done, because Gary Anderson is clearly your fourth favourite player of all time, even though he's only won the world title twice, never won the BDO world title in all the years he was on there, and has won very few majors compared to most of those other players I put on there. So, clearly Fine. It's a nonsense, I'll tell you Matt, what. And I should have done it.
Well, he's the dream boy, isn't he? Right. I'm gonna do you with one here then. I'm gonna play a
Gary
game
Anderson
you.
Better than what? Dennis Priestley, not a chance. Better than John Pott, three-time world champion, not a chance.
Right, here's one for you. You can only answer with one word. No hesitation. First word that comes to your head. I'm gonna name players off the order of merit. And you've got to just say one word, first one that comes to your mind.
Right. Go on.
Rob Cross.
Bad action.
I don't think you That's understand the words. Game, do you?
Action.
Yeah, two
action.
Words and you hesitated. Action.
Okay.
Dave Chisnall.
Yellow.
Is this as fast as your brain works?
Yeah. I've never done this game before.
Literally, I'm naming these, and our viewers are making sure that it's not paused. I've lost connection here or something. Like, he's not saying anything.
Right, come on, I'm on it now. Come on, I'm ready. Let's go.
Chris Dobie.
Newcastle.
You'd be rubbish at this. Like, you'd be buzzed out.
Go on. I thought it was going to be quick.
You'd have been pied in the face by now.
Come on.
Ryan Searle.
Heavy.
Mike Dedeker.
Awesome.
Ryan Joyce.
Mission.
Scott Williams.
Tartan.
Ricky Evans.
Fast.
Oh, there you go. That's how you do it. Alan Souter.
Legend.
Keen Barry.
Don't know.
Mensa Suljovic.
Slow.
Like your answers, yeah. You're terrible at this. Yeah,
you're running out of players. You've named about 10. There's like 100 players you could have named. You've named about 10. You've not even given me any good ones.
Well, you was rubbish at that game. You sucked.
Right then. You're going to get it then. Are you ready?
Hang on.
Same game. I'm just going to give you five.
Here we go.
Peter Wright.
Clown.
Oh, what a start.
By the way, I love...
Yeah, you are better at this than me.
Peter. Everyone knows I love Peter Wright for that exact reason. Like, I love the standout like, bits.
Right, okay. William O'Connor.
Irish.
Glenn Durant.
Boring.
Martin
I
Adams.
Call him it all the time, don't worry. Like I text him all the time, you call him boring.
Martin Adams.
Old.
Ugh. Luke Humphreys.
Legend.
No.
He's a legend in the making.
Luke Woodhouse.
Van Gerwen.
You say you've lost it now. You started strong with Clown, but you've lost it now. Right, last
His
one.
His action's very similar to Van Gerwen. He sort of replicated it.
Let me give you one good one to finish. Jan van Veen.
Who?
Too long!
Who did you say?
Jan van Veen.
Jan?
Jan van Veen.
Is that how you actually say it? Oh... Jean.
What?
Jean Lambert.
What do you think he was called? What do you think he was called?
I'm trying to think now. I don't say it like that.
Matt,
I say
Matt
it?
You're a commentator. Jean you're Van a commentator. Veen. He's called Jean Van Veen.
Jean Van Veen.
Right, ladies and gentlemen, I think he's lost it. I think it's too late in the evening. I would have said...
You completely thrown me. I want to know what you say after what you said earlier. The,
yeah, no,
this is the part where people go, what did he say earlier? Because it's been cut out.
This is the part where people tune in, fast forward to the end and go, what are they talking about? Clown. This go, clown.
By the way, if you have done that, just let us know the first thing that popped into your head on some of those, because you'd have played along at home, I'm sure. Let us know in the comments some of the things that you...
Why don't we leave them with one to finish? We'll leave them with one each. We'll leave them with a player each, and we won't give a word. Put in the comments below what the first word is that came to your mind.
Go on then, you give one.
Okay. Joe Cullen.
I'm going to go with...
Comments below.
Andy Cornwall.
Thank God I'm the moderator.
Cloud.
On that note, it's been a pleasure. It's been emotional. It's been a dream. And I'll see you next week. Make sure you're subscribed. Catch us next week for the next one.